6:31 on a Wednesday. Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650. Let's head straight to the phone line, joined as we are every week by our good friend, Sportsnet NHL insider Chris Johnson here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Good morning, Chris. How are you, bud?
I'm well. It's April 21st, I think, and it's snowing right now in Toronto, so
is it?
I don't know what's going on. Yeah, like a lot, not just a little bit.
What a great time for Toronto. There's snow. There's a goaltending crisis at hand. We spent the better part of the morning basking in the glow of back-to-back victories against the Leafs for the Canucks. But we also acknowledged, and we said we'd get to this with Chris Johnson, there's a real problem in net now, and it was really exacerbated last night by David Rittich. Give us a sense, aside from the fact that it's snowing outside, the temperature around this team, its goaltending situation, and what fans are saying right now as the Leafs have now lost five in a row.
Yeah, this is one of those times a team probably appreciates being on the road and having no reporters around because, you know, I guess you can never insulate yourself from social media, but, you know, Leafs fans are on the ledge right now. I mean, it's funny. It's a similar situation going on with the Montreal Canadiens, who obviously the Canucks are chasing. You know, they're out in Edmonton. They've really dialed up their fan base. I feel like it's similar in Toronto. And you know, there's nothing worse, I think, as a fan than a goaltender question, controversy, concern, because everything else a team can do well. 22 other players or 19 other players can have great nights, but if the goaltender isn't making enough saves, it's almost a futile effort, and that's kind of how it feels right now around the Leafs. You know, Jack Campbell had a really good run to start the year, and he's cooled off. Frederik Andersen, other than rollerblading around the Vancouver seawall, we're not really sure what's going on with him. It's been more than a month since he's played, and obviously David Rittich didn't have a very good night last night at all.
Freddie Andersen was rollerblading around the seawall? Like, so what's... Because I remember reading in Elliot Friedman's 31 Thoughts column that he had come back... He felt too early last time and then wasn't good because of that. And so this time he's like, I'm not coming back until I'm 100%. I wonder if the Leafs might force that plan to change. And also, can they, because of the salary cap, bring him back if they want to?
It looks like they can. I mean, it's one of these complicated things, you know, that the Leafs have used long-term injured reserve to make some acquisitions at the trade deadline, but then Zach Hyman got hurt in Sunday's game on that hit from Alex Edler. And so it appears, if you get your calculators out, that there's a way to activate him and still have a cap-compliant roster.
Okay.
And the Leafs are pretty good at this, at sort of mm-hmm. finding their ways around this issue. You know, I think the bigger issue is his health. You know, he's been skating, I'd say, for the last week or so, at least reporters know of, but he hasn't participated in a full practice with the team. You know, he hasn't started since March 19th, so it's more than a month now. And so I would just think that you know, logic dictates it's going to be a little while before he's up and running again. And, you know, I was taking the, you know, some positives, I guess, that he was out rollerblading. A fan in Vancouver took some pictures of Austin Matthews and Joe Thornton and Freddie out for a rollerblade during their time there.
I saw Joe Thornton.
Yeah, sure. Did you actually physically see him or just online?
I just saw it online. I was like, he loves tarps off.
Yeah, he's t-shirt averse for sure. you know, with Andersen, what's kind of interesting in this situation is this is a team that's usually really quite open, relatively speaking, about injuries. You know, they called Zach Hyman's injury an MCL sprain, you know, mm-hmm. the first day they could, and gave specific timelines. I mean, there's just no timeline here. There's no clarity on why, you know, why this is so up in the air. And you're right. If you know, they go to Winnipeg now, and if they struggle there, and if this sort of compounds, I think there will be a certain amount of pressure to try to get Andersen back in if at all possible.
Siege, I want to ask you about the team that the Canucks are chasing. I suppose they are chasing. Yeah, it's a playoff chase. I mean, it's a long-distance chase still. Mm-hmm. Canucks are 8 points back of the Montreal Canadiens. What is wrong with the Habs? Like, I know Carey Price is hurt, but I feel like that's not really what's wrong with them.
No, all of a sudden they just look old and slow. And you know, that's hardly, I guess, an official doctor's, you know, analysis of what's happening there. But they're not scoring enough. And, you know, it gets exacerbated a little bit by goaltending. you know, truth be told, I think Jake Allen's probably been their better goaltender over the balance of the season than Carey Price. So I don't see this, you know, as a pure goaltending issue for them. But, you know, they're not producing much offense. And so, you know, the game they lost in Edmonton a couple nights ago, they're clinging to a 1-0 lead, and it just feels like there's no other goal coming. And you know, obviously Edmonton exploded and scored 4 goals in the third, and they lost that game. And so I think it's put a lot of pressure on them. You know, it's funny the parallels with Toronto. I mean, they're also in long-term injured reserve. They're kind of handcuffed a little bit by their cap position. You know, they have Cole Caulfield with their taxi squad, who scored 30 goals in 31 games in the NCAA. He had a couple goals in his first few professional games in the American Hockey League. But, you know, right now they're not in a position where they could even activate him because of the cap. And so, you know, in Montreal, that's where a lot of the cries are coming from. Everyone wants to see, you know, a player that's scored a lot of goals whenever he can on a team that can't do enough of that, and they're not able to do so. And so, you know, they've really stalled out. Mm-hmm. I think it's six losses in 8 games. And, you know, I don't know. It might be a little soon to say Vancouver's chasing them, but I'm sure they're feeling a bit of heat there. I mean, they know they played more games and they haven't won very much, and the scoring's dried up. They still got to play Edmonton again. You usually need to score goals to beat Edmonton. You know, it's an interesting situation. I started, you know, the weekend thinking that there was no race after watching Vancouver grind out 2 wins over Toronto and just seeing the general situation with the Canadians. I do actually believe we might have a race on our hands.
The one thing that I think everyone said about Montreal before the season started, you know, you liked the depth on the wings, you liked the back end, goaltending was obviously expected to be solid with Carey Price, and then adding Jake Allen in there was a pretty good, I mean, they're spending a lot of money on goaltending, so it better be okay at least. But down the middle, I think a lot of us looked at that and went, well, Nick Suzuki's going to have to take a massive step, and Phil Deneau can't take a step back, and he still has to be solid, and Kokiniemi has to be decent as the 3C. I think if you look down the middle right now, as much as Nick Suzuki is still promising, Phil Deneau definitely has not had a good season. And you look at that team and you're like, their centers, if you compare them to the rest of Canada, they're not very good.
Yeah, and I think it hurts them in this division because, you know, the team they're playing every night pretty much, I guess, absent Ottawa, you know, it matches up favorably at that position. And it's just proven over time to be such a key position, you know, in terms of having success in the league. You know, they also went out and traded for Eric Staal, and so far that hasn't really paid dividends. I know he scored a couple goals for them, an overtime winner, you know, helped them get some points. But, you know, it just hasn't solidified the position like they would hope. And you know, they're an interesting team because they've shown an ability when they're at their best to shut down dangerous, you know, players. You know, McDavid, I believe the goal he scored the other night was the first goal in 6 or 7 games they played against them. They've had success against Toronto's, you know, big stars in games, but you know that everything kind of has to be a grind for them. And if the games open up at all, they don't have the firepower to compete. And the way the North has been played a lot of this year, that hasn't always worked in their favor. So, you know, they're not feeling too comfortable right now. It's probably helped that Calgary really hasn't strung much together and has lost a bunch of games to the Senators to really put pressure on them with 2 teams chasing from behind. But as I say, it would take a crazy month from the Canucks, but I think crazier things have happened. And, you know, momentum is a real thing in sports. For one reason or another, things start going well. You can pile together some wins. I feel like Montreal sort of got the anti-momentum going, and they're just kind of sputtering out, and they don't have a lot of internal solutions. And you know, this could get really interesting really quick.
We're speaking of Sportsnet. It's Chris Johnson here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Jason, we haven't even talked about the William Nylander thing yet. We made such a good deal out of that last night that this...
You got to hold players accountable, and when you say there are rules, and then this is like a kid that gets in trouble but isn't grounded. And then the other kids in the family go, well, nobody's accountable.
And Siege, you were the one that kind of pushed yesterday trying to get some answers on this, right? The post-game media availability?
Yeah, because, look... Like, just my personal view, and I don't know everything that happened here, but I think that this is a little too old school for me, just this whole notion. You know, look, we've all been late. I get that there's team rules, but, you know, I don't really see why this needs to play out publicly as much as it did. You know, I think that this is probably something that could have been handled behind the scenes. you know, context is really important here. William Nylander is a player. Forget even sort of the public discussion about him. Let's just talk about how the Leafs view him internally. When he's at his best, he's pretty damn awesome. And the Leafs have constantly had this to and fro with him that they just feel he isn't there enough. And you know, Sheldon Keefe in particular, who did, you know, have some time with him in the American Hockey League years ago before taking over the Leafs job, has always felt he's a player that needs to be pushed. And so I think part of this is just who it was. It was an opportunity for them to keep pushing him and prodding him. But, you know, I'm not sure it's totally necessary, to be honest. You know, I think Nylander, you know, as the fourth best forward or whatever he is on the Leafs, has played pretty much up to that potential throughout this season. I think he's been good. And, you know, I don't know that they needed to handle it this way, especially because it turns out he missed a text message on the day when, you know, I don't know if you guys were impacted by this, but on Monday, you know, telecommunication services were basically down across the country. I wasn't getting texts either. And so he didn't know about the meeting he missed. There's no insinuation here he was doing anything he shouldn't have been doing. It was, you know, what I would probably term an innocent mistake. And so, you know, for whatever reason, Sheldon Keefe chose to kind of use that as a chance to make an example of him and make it seem like he might be scratched for a game and then put him in and say he had to prove something. And, you know, he wasn't the reason the Leafs lost last night. He played pretty darn well.
Is William Nylander the most controversial player in Toronto? Like, is he the guy that will constantly get debated and some people are extremely on his side and some people are like, oh man, this is not the type of guy you can trust, especially when the games matter?
Without a doubt. And in fact, I think most people are just staked in their position now.
Right.
And so I almost feel like it doesn't matter what he does, good or bad, from here on out. You know, people that believe in him and love him and, you know, see his underlying numbers. I mean, he's someone consistently that's driven play for the Leafs. He's a zone entry monster. You know, again, he scored at pretty decent rates, not at the sort of Matthews Marner level, but still at a very, very productive star level NHL player since the day he entered the league. But you know, there's also what the eye shows you, and he's not always competing the hardest. You know, there's lots of clips you can find where he's, you know, lacking on a back check where the other team goes and scores. And so, you know, just depending on what you value, he's certainly not going to line anyone up for a hit, although he's pretty darn good at winning puck battles too because of, you know, his stick positioning and those types of things. You know, everyone's kind of made up their mind now. He's, you know, he's 5 years into his career as a Leaf. And you know, I do feel, I certainly don't think a trade is going to definitely happen for him. But, you know, I wonder if he has a poor playoffs, you know, if he doesn't sort of shine here down the stretch and in the most important games of the season, you know, how that conversation goes in the off season. Because, you know, I think that what happened this week is a little bit revealing in terms of just some internal frustration. He's one of those guys. I mean, Phil Kessel was a little bit like this in Toronto, where for everything great he does that you can highlight, there's still always this question, could he be more? You know, why? You know, there's just always this feeling there's more there from him. And, you know, as time goes along with the Leafs in salary cap bind, if he doesn't sort of maybe have a defining moment, you know, I do think that they're going to have to make a decision on his future, and that could come as soon as this summer, really, depending on how these next few weeks and months play out.
Kind of reminded me of Kadri, too, how a lot of the team's frustrations with him would play out publicly. And it makes me wonder, since they did make it play out publicly, like they had him, you know, in the gray sweater at practice, and so obviously reporters were like, hey, what's going on with that? If that wasn't the first late, or if there was other stuff going on leading up to that where the coach felt, all right, like we need to, you know, send a real message here and have the public know about this, not just us.
Yeah, and that's entirely possible. And to be honest, I don't know if that's, you know, something he's dealt with before. Probably would have been a good question for him, frankly. But you're right. And last year, Kasperi Kapanen was a scratch for a game. And they kind of did the same thing, and then he got traded in the offseason. I mean, look, you're right. When we learn about this stuff in the media or the fan bases, it's probably not the first time something's happened because, you know, people are late for work all the time. Usually your coworkers cover up for you, or it's dealt with internally and everyone moves along. You know, I think it's going to be an interesting few weeks for him because, you know, he's played really well in just the recent stretch of games, but if he goes quiet down the stretch or has another quiet playoffs, which is something he definitely has done previously. It's pretty clear there's some degree of frustration building there with his consistency behind the scenes.
Siege, great stuff today, bud. Thanks a lot for doing this. We appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the week. We will talk again next Wednesday.
Right on. Keep basking in those two wins.
Will do.
Possible.